of a careless Christian. The marks of a careless Christian. And for this message, I want to take the biblical character of Peter and this snapshot of his life in Matthew chapter 26 that is so familiar to us all. As we consider this man's life and how he became a careless follower of Jesus Christ, I want us all to ask the question, in my life, am I showing the marks of a careless Christian? The first mark of carelessness in Peter's life was seen in the area of his declarations. That's our first point, his declarations. As Peter became careless in his walk with God, this much loved and this much prayed for disciple began to develop a life that was inconsistent with his lip. What he practiced and what he professed were in contradiction with each other. As the Savior and his band of disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, left the upper room, crossed the Kidron Brook, and set their course for the olive grove of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ warned them that before the night would be over, that all of them would be offended because of him. Note the words in the verse 31. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Peter was incredulous at such a suggestion, and so self-confidently he declared, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Savior's reply to such a declaration, I'm sure, came as a shock to Peter, for the Son of God told him that before the night was past and the cock crowed, Peter was going to deny the Savior on three separate occasions. Not me, Lord. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee, was Peter's response. What declarations of loyalty. What declarations of allegiance and commitment Peter made to his master here on this dark night. But I want you to see, as the night progresses, Peter started to become careless. There was a distance that developed between him and the Lord. And when the time came to make good on his promises and to make good on these declarations of loyalty and commitment to the Savior, Peter was nowhere to be found. Note the sad record of verse 56 that proves that to be the case. For we read there, but all this was done that the scriptures might be filled, of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, Peter included, all the disciples forsook him and fled. Peter, did you not say that though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended? Peter, did you not declare before others, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee? Peter, your life is inconsistent now with your lip. This is often the case in the life of a careless Christian. They profess one thing, but they live another. They live another way. With their lips they declare one thing, but by their lives they do another. They're like those that we read of whom the Savior spoke over there in Matthew chapter 15 in the verse 58. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. As one of old said, words and works, believing and doing, confession of the mouth and confession of the life, a sense of religion and godliness in the church and a sense of religion and godliness in the world are things that ought never to be separated. I find out something in my Christian life. The easiest person to fool is yourself. Sad to say, we are the most gullible people when it comes to believing our own lies, especially when it comes to our spiritual state and walk before God. Many profess great things, but the practice of their lies is somewhat incompatible with that profession. And so I address every heart in this place today, the preacher's heart, the hearts of our office bearers, the hearts of our communicant members, our congregational members, friends of this congregation. You know, there are many things that we can declare. We declare them in song. We declare them in prayer. We declare them in testimony. But unless we make good on what we say, we are no better than a hypocrite. Than a hypocrite. No, we can declare that we love the Lord. But I wonder, do we love Him enough to remember Him around the Lord's table? You know, we can declare that we enjoy being with God's family. But does it pain you to shake another brother or sister's hand? You know, we can declare that we appreciate gospel preaching. But why is it you're not found out at the gospel service? We can say and declare that we respect the preachers of the gospel, but we're quite happy to criticize them behind their back. Our lips and lies are incompatible. It is the mark of a careless Christian. No, Peter's inconsistent lip and life were to continue when he found himself around that open fire in the courtyard of the high priest's palace in which Jesus was being tried. At first, Peter, we're told in the verse 70, denied the Lord. And then in verse 72, we're told that he denied Christ again, but this time with an oath. By the stage that we get to Peter's third denial, in the verse 74, we read that he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. This was certainly not the lip of a Christian who was walking close to the Lord. This was the lip of a careless Christian. Bishop J.C. Ryle was right when he said these words, great falls seldom happen to a saint without a previous course of secret backsliding. The church and the world are sometimes shocked by the sudden misconduct of some great professor of religion. But if the truth could be known, the explanation of such cases would generally be found to have been private departure from God. He went on to say, men fall in private long before they fall in public. The tree falls with a great crash, but the secret decay which accounts for it is often not discovered until it's down on the ground. I wonder, am I addressing someone here who, like Peter, has become careless in their Christian walk? One who feels that there has been a gradual decline in spiritual things and appetite in recent months and in recent years. One whose lip and life are out of step with each other. I tell you, before you reach the stage of denying your Lord with oaths and curses and swearing, let me encourage you to return on to the Lord. Let me encourage you to take no further steps away from God. Let me encourage you today to turn your feet towards Him and seek His mercy and seek His forgiveness and say not, this is for the man down the pew. And say not, this is for the lady sitting behind me. But oh, that God would search our hearts and that we would realize that there has been a departure from the Lord. On the Lord. A careless Christian can be identified and with respect to their declarations. But the second mark of carelessness in Peter's life is seen in the area of his supplications. His supplications. When the Son of God and his disciples reached the entrance of the Garden of Gethsemane, we are told that the Savior left eight of them there with this very clear command in verse 36, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Entering into the garden itself, Peter, James, and John accompanied the Savior for a little distance, but then they too were told to proceed no further. Christ revealed, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And then he commands them to tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch with me, verse 38. The depth of anguish the Son of God was now experienced cannot be expressed. We get a little glimpse of what he prayed. He said, "There, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Having gone that little bit further, having fallen before the Father's face in prayer, the Son of God begins to supplicate and to intercede on behalf of his people. After spending some time in prayer alone to his Father, the Son of God now returns to that trio of disciples to find them asleep. Rousing them from the sleep, the Savior gently rebukes Peter and the others with the words, "What? What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verse 41. Returning to that place of intercession alone, the Savior continues to pray for a season. He returns to find again Peter, James, and John asleep. Rebuking them, the Savior returns to supplicate for the third occasion, only to find on his return the three same disciples in the same slumbering state that he found them on the previous two occasions. You see, Peter was supposed to be supplicating, but instead Peter was sleeping. He was supposed to be supplicating, but instead he was sleeping. My brother and sister, before you tut-tut, before you shake your head in disapproval of Peter's actions, and before you sit down and ridicule him for his slumbering and sleeping in the place of prayer, at least Peter was found at the place of prayer. At least he was there. You know, weekly I appeal to God's people to come to the season of prayer in this house. Week after week, the same faithful souls are found praying for this work. But there's others and they just slumber and sleep. They just slumber and sleep. Let me ask you today, will it take a child of yours to be taken into an intensive care unit before you see the value of the prayers of God's saints? Will it take some serious illness to invade your body before you gather with the saints of God to pray? Will it take a tragedy to come in to your circle of friends before you're found watching and praying in prayer with the rest of God's people? I tell you, a careless Christian is a non-praying Christian. A careless Christian is a non-praying Christian. It was because Peter had become careless in this area of praying that he now left himself exposed to the attack of the wicked one. Watch and pray, the Savior told him. But Peter failed to do either. Peter had failed to take to himself the weapon of all prayer. Remember what we said? Whenever we considered the armor of God in our midweek prayer meetings, that weapon of all prayer, we thought about that. He failed to take to himself the weapon of all prayer. And what happened? Soon he was going to be found lying wounded on the field of battle. Satan had found a chink in Peter's armor, an area of vulnerability, an area, a point of weakness. And soon prayerless Peter became careless Peter. Let me repeat that. Soon prayerless Peter became careless Peter. What was the cause of Peter's prayerlessness? I believe that it was his misplaced confidence in himself. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Peter believed that he could live the Christian life in his own strength. He didn't need to pray. He didn't need to seek God's help. He didn't need to pray and ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. No, Peter was going to stand firm. Peter was going to remain faithful to his Lord. And what need had he of prayer? He had need of it all. He had need of all prayer. And yet he felt that he didn't need to pray. You know, whenever we think that we can live the Christian life in our own strength, whenever we think that we can meet the temptations of the world and the flesh and the devil in our own power, we get to the stage that we don't believe that we need prayer anymore. We become self-confident. You know, it is the weak and it is the powerless, it is the feeble Christian that sees how much they need the Lord. They see how much they need prayer. They realize that without Him they can do nothing. And so they seek Him in prayer. Seek for His help. Seek for His grace. Seek for His infilling of the Spirit of God. They seek Him in prayer. They realize that God's work cannot go forward except prayer is involved and except prayer is offered for the man of God, for the ministries of God, for the elders and committee men and the congregation. They realize that they need to pray. And oh, that God's people would realize that we need to pray. We need to pray. Carelessness has set in. Carelessness. Child of God, are you so foolish to believe that having begun in the Spirit, that you're going to find perfection, you're going to find what it is to be made perfect by the flesh? Can't happen. Let me read you some words. The word says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Do you know who wrote that? Peter. Peter wrote that. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Here's a man who had learned by experience. He learned by experience that prayerlessness places you in great peril. And so he wrote to the scattered saints the words of explanation, "Watch on to prayer." You know, in a roundabout way, what Peter was saying? He was saying, "Learn from my mistake." That's what he was saying. Learn from my mistake. Having failed to heed the Savior's command to watch and pray in Gethsemane and aware of what his carelessness in prayer eventually led to in his life, Peter now exhorts the saints to whom he was writing to be sober and watch unto prayer, because I know what happens whenever I cease to pray. I leave myself in great peril. In great peril. May God challenge then all of our hearts, and may the carelessness with respect to our prayer life, public and private, may that carelessness be driven from all of our hearts. The third and final mark of carelessness in Peter's life is seen in the area, yes, of his declarations, of his supplications, finally, of his identifications. His identifications. Can I say in the first place that Peter no longer wanted to be identified with Jesus Christ? In verse 58 of the chapter, we read of Peter following the Savior afar off. When he came to the palace of the high priest, the Gospel of John's account tells us over there in John chapter 18 and the verse number 16, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Very interesting verse. I always find it a word of encouragement, especially to someone who is starting to drift away. Because here we have another disciple, believed to be John, the beloved disciple. And John sees Peter standing outside the door all alone. But what does John do? John goes and he fetches him in. Because you see, God had a man in place to try and get Peter to follow Christ much closer than he presently was. And so he sent John out. And John says, come in with me, Peter. But very soon, you'll find those men parting ways. And Peter finds himself in the wrong company. Carelessness on the part of Peter meant that he no longer wished to identify with Jesus Christ. I wonder, is that your case today? Is there a reluctance on your part, my part, to identify with Jesus Christ and his people? Young person, do you remember whenever you went to secondary school? Remember that time whenever you were unashamed to tell your friends that you were a Christian? But now you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed whenever the school friends asked you where you were at the weekend and you have to tell them that you were at church. You no longer want to identify with Christ. Remember, believer, whenever you are happy to bear reproach for Christ, now it's much different. Once you are happy to be identified with the family of God and with the Christ of God, but now you're not so bold to speak up at work anymore for Jesus Christ or identify with him and his cause, I tell you, it is the careless Christian who no longer wants to be identified with Jesus Christ. As we think of Peter's carelessness seen in the life of his identification or the area of his identification, we could say in the second place that Peter was now willing to identify with the enemies of Christ. Matthew records that after Peter was brought into the palace courtyard, instead of staying close to that other disciple, instead of keeping company with one of like precious faith, we read in verse 58 of this chapter that Peter sat with the servants to see the end, the servants of the high priest. These were the men that had just arrested his Savior. Now he's keeping company with them. Careless Peter. He's now isolated himself from every other Christian. He's now found himself in the company of the ungodly. If only he had have remembered his psalm book. If only he had have recalled in his mind the very opening statement that we have in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but he forgot the counsel of God. If only he had have remembered the book of Proverbs, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If only he had remembered it. But he had forgot it. He had shut out the counsel from God's word. He found himself now among the ungodly. It's often the mark of a careless Christian. They start to drift away from the company of the converted, the company of God's people, and they find themselves in the society of sinners. Peter was going to soon very quickly learn that truth which we find in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, that evil communications, or the word is companionships, evil companionships corrupt good manners. As he continued in that company, Peter wanted to blend in, and so we find him cursing and swearing just like those that he was around the open fire with. He started to become like them. You may say, but preacher, there's no other Christians in my school class. I understand that. But I tell you, you'll find company with God's people in the place of prayer, the youth fellowship, in Sunday school and Bible class. That's where you're to form your friendships, because evil companionships corrupt good manners. Peter was learning that very, very quickly. And many in our land once stood around an open-air microphone, and I'm thinking of them. People that I once knew. They once stood around an open-air microphone, but they now stand on a nightclub dance floor. It happened. They once stood and handed out the gospel tracts, but now they're the ones to whom the gospel tract is handed out to. They once identified with the children of God, but now they keep company with the enemies of Christ. They were once glad to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but now they're enjoying the pleasures of sin. What happened? Many things happened, but I believe that they can all be traced back to this thing. They got into bad company, wrong company. Evil companions led them astray. Young person, you be warned. Be warned. Don't get into bad company. Evil companions will lead you astray. Carelessness on your part will lead you to identifying with the enemies of Christ. You may say, preacher, I'll check myself before that happens. Can I say that it only took hours? Think of it. It only took hours for Peter to fall. Hours. He had just celebrated the Lord's Supper. Within hours, he was cursing the one whom he said he loved. Hours. It only took him hours to feel. What makes you and I think that our departure from God would be any less swift? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. No, thank God, Peter wasn't left in the careless state. The moment he denied the Savior, the cock crew. Luke tells us that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. I believe those tears were tears of regret, tears of sorrow, tears of remorse, tears of shame, tears of repentance. He wept bitterly. A native of Irvine, Scotland, James Montgomery, he moved to the Moravian settlement here in Grace Hill near Ballymena when he was just 5 years of age. 2 years later, he was sent to Full Neck Seminary there in Yorkshire. His father, I believe, was a Moravian missionary. They would eventually spend the rest of the years in Barbados. Throughout his life, James Montgomery penned 400 hymns. One of them was entitled In the Hour of Trial. The first verse seems to have this incident of Christ's look at Peter in mind. It reads as follows. In the hour of trial, Jesus plead for me, lest by base denial I depart from thee, when thou seest me waver. With thy look recall, nor for fear or favor, suffer me to fall. It was that reproving and yet I believe that loving look from Christ that broke Peter and saw his eventual return to Jesus Christ. You know what that look initially did? That look initially drove Peter from the wrong company. Because our verse there in Matthew chapter 26, in the verse 75, it tells us, and he went out. That was the start of his road to recovery. He severed his affiliations with the godless crowd. He went out from them. He once associated with them, but now he's gone out from among them. And things are going to happen in the next 3 days. There is a repentance, I believe, on Peter's part. Because Peter not only went out from the wrong company, but bless God, he soon found himself in the right company. Because we read on in the Gospels that after Christ rose from the dead, Peter was found among the disciples in Galilee. He was now in the right company. And that meeting with the Savior would affirm Peter's love for Christ. And thank God it would see the Master recommission him in his work again. It was with a look that recovery came. A look from the Savior. Careless Christian, Christ's eyes are on you in this meeting. I need not tell you that your heart has grown cold. You're aware of your departure. You're conscious that you have been following the Lord afar off in recent days. Well, today is the day of your return. It needs to be. It needs to be. We need to imitate Peter's repentance. We need to return on to our first love and do that without delay. Peter became careless. He would never imagine that he would have ever cursed his Savior. He could never imagine that he would ever have done that. But he got careless. He got careless in his declarations because lip and life didn't correlate with each other. He got careless in the area of supplication, his prayer life. And then he got careless with respect to his identifications. He no longer wanted to be with God's people. And very soon he found company among the unsaved. Become careless. Have you become careless? You know in your heart. God has sent this message to you today. Return. Return. May God help us over the holiday season and much further beyond. May God help us to be careful Christians. Careful Christians and not careless Christians. May God challenge this preacher's heart. And may God challenge your heart. And if you have departed, return on to the Savior. He will abundantly pardon. And he'll restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Let's unite in prayer, please. We're closing very soon. Did the Lord bring you here today to hear this word? I believe that providence has directed your feet to this house today. God is sovereign. God looks at your heart. God sees my heart. Have I the marks of a careless Christian? Have I these marks? Dear God, help me. Help me to be careful. Help me to walk circumspectly. Remove the carelessness of my heart. Pray such a prayer. Return, return. Our loving Father, we leave this message with thee. We believe that you have given us this message. And we believe also that we'll all stand before thee on the day of the judgment and we'll give an account of that which we did with this message. With light that was shone in We believe that this message is a little bit like what John did for Peter. Whenever he tried to bring him back into the company of the saints, we believe that this message is such a juncture in people's lives today. And we fear where they will be if they take the road that Peter took when he found himself inside that courtyard. O God, give men and women and young people the honesty of heart to say, yes, that there has been a departure. But from this moment, this day, this hour, I follow Christ. I identify with Christ. I identify with his people. O God, take us safely to our homes. Bring us again to thy house tonight to hear the gospel once again preached. Give us a love for thy house and for thy day. Help us to honor thee through it all. Help us to please thee in all things. We pray this in Jesus' most precious and all glorious name. Amen and amen. Thank you.